see, I don't have my suit on. That was rerun from this afternoon. I'm sure that some of you would rather I stay with the pyramids and the gouging Egyptian guards. But I'm changing the subject. We're live. Won't take any calls for a few minutes. I'm back to the message of this morning. Teach on this subject and the demons start acting the way they did with the demoniac of the Gadarenes. They start coming out. I don't mean in deliverance. I mean in exposing their presence. They don't like to be exposed. And when exposed, they then manifest it. Probably the better word I want. This is a subject, as much as any subject, that smokes people out. The same words bring life to some, death to others. And believe you me, I've been engaged in some wrestling. And Satan, as I talked this morning, wants to silence this voice. Now, I've been under attack, and I'm sure that if I open the phones with the question, how many of you have been under attack? I probably will get the phones jammed. I got the devil mad. I'm going to make him madder tonight. Only two kinds of people in the world. Those that God has called and those that he hasn't. Call, everybody, the called and the not called, are under Satan's control. Doesn't mean they are possessed. There are degrees of control and degrees of possession. It's obvious that the man that I taught about in Christ's first encounter, the demoniac in the synagogue, did not have as many demons in him as the demoniac of the Gadarenes. And you have no record of the demoniac in the synagogue resisting Jesus. All it took was a word to deliver him. The demons in the demoniac of the Gadarenes in Mark 5 took foolish courage from their numbers. If it was one lone demon in the demoniac of the synagogue, he didn't sass. Well, his opening remarks were and when Jesus rebuked him, that was it. But a legion of them, either 2,000 or 6,000 or somewhere in between, I'm inclined to think 6,000, because that's what a legion consisted of. They thought they had enough numbers to talk back. And the illustrations we've used thus far, degrees from one demon to 6,000, in differing degrees of reaction based upon their felt sense of power through numbers. under Satan's control without being possessed. He's quite happy for you to just simply follow the frame of reference of the world and the desires of the flesh. He'll flatter you. He'll encourage you in your selfishness. He'll help you rationalize your self-love. His goal is simply to keep you from responding to God's call, and if you have, break the connection of faith. He's a success if he keeps God from getting you. You're back in his domain. Now, most of you don't feel like prisoners in the United States. Some countries are worse than the United States because we have, quote, a constitutional right to travel. It's one of our constitutional rights. Because those who came to found this country knew the restrictions of the countries they'd come from. You're not a prisoner. Well, you try to take more than $10,000 cash out of the country without reporting it. Or try to leave if the government doesn't want you to leave. Private jet and decide you're just going to fly out of the country and say hello to a couple F-16s on each side saying turn around. Now there are prisoners of our government that are in jail. Some are in low-security prisons. Some are in maximum detention. Some are in isolation and in chains. And some of us run around free unless we disturb the government. If you think you're not a prisoner of your country, you're crazy as a lunatic. They decide they're going to exercise their authority over you. You're a prisoner. Now that's what I'm talking about when I say every person on this earth, the called and the found and the non-called, are under Satan's control. You're in his territory. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Could have been, if he was willing to bow down to Satan. All the kingdoms of this world would have been his. Will be, one day, when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And those that have made him their king now, the called and the chosen, will rule and reign with him when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not yet. This is Satan's kingdom. Now, Jesus did not come to overturn that kingdom right now. He came more like the exousias with authorities to seize from Satan the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and the power he had over mankind, the fear of death, and the bondage that the accuser of the brethren could put on us Because God, to be consistent with his own righteousness, could not take us in our sinning condition without the price paid by the kinsman redeemer. And he lost that battle because that was the purpose of the temptation in the wilderness, to keep Jesus from going to the cross.
Well, once he lost that battle, he was going to participate in inflicting as much punishment as he could.
But Satan's desire was to keep Jesus from going to the cross. And there was no celebration in Satan's domain when Jesus gave up the ghost. He knew he'd lost. He had lost the power to control those that Jesus provided redemption for. He doesn't know who the chosen are until the first step is taken, or the called. He knows his time is limited, so the only thing he can do is try to prevent God from building up his church. But Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And my church is ecclesia. I will build my outcalled ones.
He'll find them, and he'll build them.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm not preaching a defeat message.
I'm preaching a know your enemy message. Know the battle you're in.
Otherwise, you won't prepare yourself.
You don't take the steps,
and you're really too stupid. All of us take stupid pills periodically and think yesterday's faith experience will whip the devil today. No, you resist the devil, he flees from you. You stand, you withstand, you stand again, and you put on the whole armor of God, above all the shield of faith. By the way, knock them out for criticism. And every one of us are found by God in this condition. Ephesians 2. I was on this at the end. You who were dead. That class is the word. Dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Let me translate that literally. According to kata, tone, the iona. Now we get eons. And the King James translates it, course. Because they overreacted to heretical interpretations of the first centuries. And the Gnostic exaggeration and distortion of eons until they were afraid to take the truth because the truth had been bent out of shape. Eons are just like Archos and Exousios, personified beings of evil in Satan's domain. Now they're twisting it. Eon is a time span in one meaning of the word in English. They get close with the King James because it's obvious. You're walking according to not a thousand-year eon. So they put the word course in. They aren't willing to say walking according to the demon's direction of this world. That's what the eons are. Just as God will display us to the eons of eternity. There's no time in eternity. We're not talking about eons of time and eternity. We're talking about eons, supernatural personified beings. Now, because the Gnostics took that concept of the eons and went off in fanciful ideas of degrees of creation, using eons from here and eons from there, the church almost abandoned the use of the word.
It was trying to talk about it as living supernatural beings. That's what they are.
The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the enemies. This world, whose concepts are shaped by the prince of this world.
Who doesn't care
what your frame of reference is, as long as you don't adopt God's frame of reference. The flesh that seeks self-satisfaction,
and more corrupt,
Paul says, according to deceiving desires. Desires, the lust of the flesh, that's all the word means, is desires. The lust of the flesh are the desires of the flesh. They're normal. The sin is that the mind is made a servant to rationalize, becoming the slave to these desires.
And Satan comes along to tell you what he told the hippies.
I want, therefore I ought. Whatever you want, you ought to satisfy those desires. Desires are put there by God, but not to make us a slave,
as one another thing about.
Sensuality is simply making yourself a slave to your desires. A drug addict, an alcoholic, a sex fiend. The self is not a servant to satisfaction of these fleshly desires. Again, Satan will do anything to get the self to be a slave to the world or the flesh. In so doing, you're his slave, because he's keeping you from commitment to God. And he plays that like a keyboard. This is his domain. And you who were dead in a lifestyle that was heading straight toward death eternal, in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the eons of this world, the personified rulers of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, because he rules those eons. Look, it's as old as Hebrew theology. Hierarchy of angels, hierarchy of demons. Multiplied names. Satan himself is called Lucifer. Satan, the devil, a variety of names. And he has angels under his control, who, by the way, Elohim is used generally of angels, and they're fallen Elohim. Even though the opening of Genesis begins in the beginning, Elohim, El in the plural, most high beings, created. We know in Hebrews, Jesus spoke him into existence. What part the plural reference Elohim encompasses, nobody's going to know until over there the light is turned on. But Elohim has a variety of meanings throughout Scripture. It's referred to angels, groups of angels, and the creator of the world in plural. And they're fallen Elohim, and they're fallen angels. And there's a hierarchy of these angels. Likewise, a hierarchy of good angels. Michael, the prince of princes. Gabriel, who's the spokesperson so often. And many others. Hierarchies of demons and multiplied names, as I've said. Archos, Exousias, Cosmocratoros, evil pneumatica. Spirit beings, spiritual hosts. And here, and in other places, eons. All of us were under that influence. Archos, Exousias, Cosmocratoros, Pneumatica, hosts of spirits, beings of evil in the air about us, according to the eons of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Three phrases all referring to the driving, controlling force. Eons, prince of the power, or the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit, pneumatica, what's the word in exact Greek here? According to the eons of this world, according to the Archonta, ruler of the exousias, the prince of the power of the air is literally the ruler of the exousias of the air, of the spirit, pneumatico, pneumatos, now operating inner, guntos is the word in the Greek, now operating or energizing in the sons of disobedience. All this teaching I'm doing is trying to drive one simple thought home. In the invisible world around us are living, personified beings dedicated to evil, dedicated to thwarting God's call. A hierarchy of different assignment, tasks, and territories. And that's what we're up against. Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these archons, exousias, cosmocratoros, pneumatica. Here, they're referred to as eons, archos of the exousias, ruler of the authorities, and spirit, pneumatica, that drives the sons or children of disobedience. And that places do we have to go? Can't we spiritualize this away and abstract somehow evil forces? Wasn't evil forces talking to Jesus in the demoniac of the Gadarenes? And I said before I came to preach today, which I referred to in the message, it's a hard message to preach because nobody's going to believe it. Oh, there'll be an instant, so. And you'll walk right out of here and not believe it. And be at a loss to explain the next attack that lands on you. You don't know who the enemy is. If you knew who the enemy was, I couldn't keep you from getting on the phones. I would have to beg you every time I sat down here to get off the phones. You want to tell me a better way to irritate and resist and literally stick the finger up the nose of Satan and his cohorts than to interlace this entire world with these faith lines? You want to tell me a single thing, if you were in his shoes as we've described him, that could irritate you more if you were him? They're connecting these faith lines every night and all day long through his territory. The prince of the power of the air, we invade it with a faith connection. Well, you don't believe it.
You find it?
I wouldn't have to be telling you this. You're still keeping it in some kind of academic, abstract, never land. You, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the eons of this world, view that as personified drivers of the motives and activities, according to the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the exousias, according to the spirit, pneumatica, pneumatos in this case is the form, pneumatica in Ephesians 6, according to the spirit that now worketh, energizes in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, literally conducted ourselves, behavior, in times past in the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. The God who's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For grace he is saved. Same
words
describing the power of the Spirit that
raised up Jesus from the dead.
He knows you can't deliver yourself.
You can't spring free from the control of the eons of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh, because it's a life force,
person,
in
and around,
activating and energizing. That's the way the world runs.
You're not of the world, Jesus said, because I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you.
They have the mind of Satan.
You're the Spirit of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. They're as different as light and darkness. Now, most of you do not believe that was your state when God found you.
You thought you found God.
Most of you do not view your salvation as a rescue effort. You think you chose God and sacrificed something to come to Him. That's how pervasive Satan's control over your mind is.
If you understood what salvation is and who the enemy is, there would be such hatred in your heart for Satan.
You would resist and fight
as though someone had raped your child.
And the knowledge that you can penetrate his domain with faith connection would jam these phones without me telling you. Well, let's see. It's station break time and the phones are open. What are you going to do?
Okay, don't take any more calls. You did pretty good.
But I have to say, you had to be reminded.
This ministry has not spent 21 years without purpose.
What do you think we call these
faith lines?
And those who sit here to answer them, voices of faith. This is supposed to be a festival of faith. An opportunity to end the day. Winning over the devil. You know, we can't. They come as close as anybody on TV of shoving that good old American eagle up high toward targets that deserve it. I'm sure you've been on the freeway or on a road, and somebody put their hand out the window at you, and if you don't really want to ram them, there's something wrong with your corpuscles. Well, I like to antagonize the devil. He gnashes his teeth when these phone lines light up without me having to tell you. And when I have to get on you to get it to happen, and there's enough regulars, I mean, look around at the number of phones in here, the thousands who listen, and the regulars, that the song starts and every line doesn't light up. And I have to tell you, and Satan laughs. And he's rationalizing to his imps right now, saying, well, they bothered us. But they had to be told to do it. That tells us the spiritual state they're in. When old Scott gets done talking, they'll forget that we're their enemy. We can go underground and undermine. They're not on active alert. Did you ever see the movie Tora Tora?
Tora.
The scenes of those so-called watchers when the Japanese planes went by, they weren't expecting any attack. They were just out there perfunctorily. They didn't expect any plane to fly over. It's the way most of you are. Satan can Pearl Harbor you 7 days a week. You're not on alert. This is where we started. Totally under his control. God calls us. And now that we've been called, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these demonic forces. That'll bother you. As long as you're not moving forward in faith, they don't care. They'll make plenty of happy space for you if you stop tithing. They'll give you 1,000 reasons why you can't do a tabernacle offering. There's not one reason they'll give you, though, that spells faith. One reason they can give you that qualifies as faith. Or they'll give you all kinds of reasons why. You don't need to go to the cathedral if you're out here. They'll even convince some of you that you can record the service on Sunday morning and go to the beach and listen to it at a more convenient time. So we don't have that united impact of power going around the world when that message goes out. Oh, they're clever, and you're dumb. I wonder how many really winced when I said that. Across the nation, around the world. Modern equipment makes it easy. I can record the service and go to the beach or have an uninterrupted Sunday and then listen to it at a convenient time. Why mess up my day by setting aside that 2 hours to be at my post during the service time? That old Scott and those few that show up fight the demons around the world with a live service coming out where the united impact of faith can quicken the message. You see, you don't have a pastor who comes with a typewritten message with point A, point B, point C, point D, point E, that if Jesus happens to come on point C, I'll still be here because I got to finish my message. The atmosphere of the morning is used of the Holy Spirit to quicken the message God wants for that hour. You're not at your post. Don't tell me you're dedicated. Don't tell me that. Responding to the call and worthy to rule and reign throughout eternity, worth the price of Jesus' death, one drop of his blood, given the opportunity to strike a blow against Satan that has not been an opportunity in the history of mankind. And you've got something more important to do at 11 o'clock Pacific time to 1 o'clock Pacific time, whatever happens to be on your calendar around the world. You can't set aside those 2 hours out of every week. 6,000 demons thought they could take Jesus on. I don't know who's listening. You better believe the devil does. We can rock his boat. Instead, he rocks yours. It's only one message I'm teaching. The devil's alive and well. He's got an army. In Mark 5, we note that the demons, back to Handbook of Spiritual Warfare, we note that the demons were terrified that Jesus was going to begin their torment now. It's not yet time, they protest in Matthew 8:29. Now, there's a lesson here for those that don't believe in hell. You better believe these demons was awaiting. And the book of Revelation says it's prepared for the devil and his angels. But those that decide to rely on their works instead of faith in Christ are going to be cast into that lake of fire prepared for somebody else. You're going to be with the one you served.
Satan.
They know the horror of it.
It's not yet time, they protest in Matthew 8:29. They know where they're going.
But not yet. They were filled with fear. Next, we discover that the demonic emotions run from to screaming defiance, Matthew 4:7, in the first part of the verse, to angry acknowledgement of his divine sonship, also in the 7th verse. And they beg him in the name of God not to begin their wrath or torment now. He's right on this one. The torment is Balsanizo. Kenneth Weiss, the great New Testament philologist, says it's used for ways to test metals by heat and torture. Not now, not now, they exclaimed. I don't want to terrorize any of you who continue to slip under Satan's control. Their confused mind sought first to overpower or intimidate him by defiance, then by arrogance, then by refusal to obey his commands to abandon their home, the victim's body, finally to try to intimidate him with a sheer force of our numbers. We are legion, we're many. Failing that, they say, don't send us out of the country. We've given this territory to rule. Don't send us into the abyss. Don't torment us. Not yet. Before Jesus answers, they spot a herd of swine. Animal body's better than nobody, I imagine, they said among themselves. If you're going to cast us out, we know you're going to cast us out, Matthew 8:31, let us go into the swine. And Jesus let them go into the swine. The swine ran over the cliff into the lake and killed themselves. Kind of interesting, a man's body will tolerate what a swine's body won't. The man was set free. He had terrorized the village. Then the news came they had lost their swine. I wrote a book once entitled, Oh, Lord, deliver us from our problems. But let me keep my pigs. They ran to stone Jesus because he had caused the killing of their pigs. They were terrorized by the demoniac. And now that Jesus freed the demoniac and they were free of that terror, they lost their pigs. How many of you are like that? Oh, Lord, deliver me from my problems. But let me keep my pigs. You see, it was Jews keeping swine. Unclean animals. He took care of both sides of the equation. And they wanted him to leave. Get away from our shores. The demoniac, now whole and clean, begged to be his disciple. Jesus said, no, stay here and evangelize. Which he did because he comes back to the place later and people were to come and afflict him to him. So the recovered, delivered demoniac had done a good job of spreading the good news of Jesus. This is a very real occasion of demon position. Go to Mark 9. Here, we're going to run into demons so powerful that the disciples can't cast them out. Are you getting the message?
But they're...
These are not
superstitious concepts of the first century. This is the record of Jesus' encounter with real,
substantial, evil beings, manifested in the case of Satan with a body or a form and a voice of his own, inhabiting the bodies of possessed people in the case of the demons. This is what we're warring against. You lose the connection of faith, you open the door and give the key to Satan. The fact that you were a believer and full of the Holy Spirit yesterday doesn't guarantee you're not an open door to the devil today. Faith has to be maintained. I said I cry in my spirit because the called do not see the wonder and the privilege and the uniqueness and the rarity of being selected by God. It ought to make you that alone the happiest man on earth. I got a report from one person today who sat crying in the service during the message, because the truth finally hit home. In spite of all my background and wanderings, God wants me. The divine service should have been having that reaction. I have the same attitude that you've let the devil position you into some kind of pouring psychological contest between me, your pastor, and you, when I'm trying to get you to do the simple little steps of faith that can drive the devil's presence away from you. What an insult to God that I have to talk you into getting on the phones. Talk you in to honoring God with your tithes and first fruits. Talk you into an expression of recognition of that leadership and control which sets you free from this demonic world. And it's not going to offer. Until by implication, whether consciously intended or not, you put me in a persuader position. Never ever coming to the point of the Macedonian Christians who begged Paul with much begging that they be allowed to participate. You're more like the Corinthians, plutocrats, overfed, egocentric spiritual megalomaniacs, fading stars, who treat Jesus like Norma Desmond treated Paramount Studios in that famous play Sunset Strip. She thought they couldn't get along without her.
Otherwise, they didn't want her.
You're like a fading... I got too many people in this congregation that are like a fading Hollywood star, still believing the advertisement about yourself when you backslid years ago. You're a drag on the ministry. Overfed, gluttonous, and critical.
Evil men to rule until the coming day of his kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is out of this world. These evil personages rule until the coming day of his kingdom, when their rule will be abolished and his, Jesus's, will be established forever.
Business appropriated by faith, as we will see in the chapter goes forward. Romans starts out with that. Both Romans and Galatians and also Hebrews pick up that cornerstone of the Reformation, the righteous by faith shall live, and make it the first one of the whole letter. Faith
that is not focused on my ability to rise to a level that's acceptable of imitation of this standard, but faithful trust in God's grace. My pastor doesn't like me. I want you to know, I don't like you. I like you. Where's the camera? I don't like you. Where's the camera? Will a camera look at me? Can I have one? I don't like you.